We ought to have kept 'em cleared.
True.
We'd better get up first thing tomorrow, said Naniog.
Yes.
Better bring a sickle too. There isn't much of the kingdom of Lancre where you could drop a football and not have it roll away from you. Most of it is moorland and steeply forested hillside, giving way to sharp and ragged mountains, where even trolls wouldn't go, and valleys so deep that they have to pipe the sunlight in. There was an overgrown path up to the moorland where the dancers stood, even though it was only a few miles from the town. Hunters tracked up there sometimes, but only by accident. It wasn't that the hunting was bad, but, well, there were the stones. Stone circles were common enough everywhere in the mountains. Druids built them as weather computers, and since it was always cheaper to build a new 33-megalith circle than upgrade an old, slow one, there were generally plenty of ancient ones around. No druids ever came near the dancers. The stones weren't shaped. They weren't even positioned in any particularly significant way. There wasn't any of that stuff about the sun striking the right stone at dawn on the right day. Someone had just dragged 8 red rocks into a rough circle. But the weather was different. People said that if it started to rain, it always began to fall inside the circle a few seconds after it had started outside, as if the rain was coming from further away. If clouds crossed the sun, it'd be a moment or two before the light faded inside the circle. William Scrope is going to die in a couple of minutes. It has to be said that he shouldn't have been hunting deer out of season, and especially not the fine stag he was tracking, and certainly not a fine stag of the Ramtop Red species, which is officially endangered, although not as endangered right now as William Scrope. It was ahead of him, pushing through the bracken, making so much noise that a blind man could have tracked it. Scrope waded through after it. Mist was still hanging around the stones, not in a blanket, but in long, raggedy strings. The stag reached the circle now and stopped. It trotted back and forth once or twice, and then looked up at Scrope. He raised his crossbow. The stag turned and leapt between the stones. There were only confused impressions from then on. The first was of distance. The circle was a few yards across. It shouldn't suddenly appear to contain so much distance. And the next was of speed. Something was coming out of the circle, a white dot growing bigger and bigger. He knew he'd aimed the bow, but it was whirled out of his hands as the thing struck, and suddenly there was only the sensation of peace and the brief remembrance of pain. William Scrope died. William Scrope looked through his hands at the crushed bracken. The reason that it was crushed was that his own body was sprawled upon it. His newly deceased eyes surveyed the landscape. There are no delusions for the dead. Dying is like waking up after a really good party, when you have 1 or 2 seconds of innocent freedom before you recollect all of the things you did last night, which seemed so logical and hilarious at the time, and then you remember the really amazing thing you did with a lampshade and 2 balloons, which had them in stitches, and now you realise you're going to have to look at a lot of people in the eye today, and you're sober now, and so are they, but you can both remember. "Oh," he said. The landscape flowed around the stones. It was all so obvious now, when you saw it from the outside. Obvious. No walls, only doors. No edges, only corners.
"William Scrope."
"Yes?"
"If you would please step this way."
"Are you a hunter?"
"I like to think I am a picker-up of unconsidered trifles."
Death grinned hopefully. Scrope's post-physical brow furrowed.
"What, like sherry? Custard? That sort of thing?"
Death sighed. Metaphors were wasted on people. Sometimes he felt that no one took him seriously enough.
"I take away people's lives is what I mean," he said testily.
"Where to?"
"We shall have to see, won't we?"
William Scrope was already fading into the mist.
"That thing that got me?"
"Yes?"
"I thought they were extinct."
"No. They just went away."
"Where to?"
Death extended a bony digit.
"Over there."
Magrat hadn't originally intended to move into the palace before the wedding because people would talk. Admittedly, 12 people lived in the palace, which had a huge number of rooms, but she'd still be under the same roof, and that was good enough, or bad enough. That was before. Now her blood was sizzling. Let people talk. She had a pretty good idea which